whosoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great because of, before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto the sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law, meaning they thought he was nuts, thought he was crazy. And they laughed at him. And when the morning arose, when the angels hastened, Lot saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So apparently, Lot had more children than just the two daughters. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like. But those were the two that were in his house with him. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So Lot wasn't in a hurry to go, but the angels dragged him and his wife and his two daughters out. And it says that God was merciful. You know, he held back until Lot was out. Mm-hmm. Let's go down to verse 34. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew up upon the ground. So the fire and the brimstone, brimstone is sulfur. That's what brimstone is. So it's got a terrible smell. And if you've ever smelled rotten eggs or if you ever smelled gas, that's the smell of sulfur, basically. So this is representative. You know, it was a literal fire that came down, but it's representative of God's judgment, his executed judgment on these people. He executed his judgment, and that's what happened. Now, let's go to Exodus 3. So one of the things that fire represents when it comes down from heaven is the executed judgment of God. Now in chapter 3 of Exodus, it says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Don't come any closer. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where on thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his head, for he was afraid to look upon God. So here is, you know, the fire represents the presence of God. If we go on, let's go to Exodus 13. We see this when they're in the wilderness. Now, another place where fire comes down from heaven is during the plagues of Egypt, right? And he sends hail, and then lightning runs across the ground. When the hail hits the ground, it turns to fire. And so that's fire from heaven. But chapter 13, of Exodus, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify me all the firstborn. Oh, well, that's the Passover. Sorry, we don't want that one. How about 19? La la la. 19:18. we'll start in verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. So here, that, you know, God came down in the fire on top of the mount. And so here it's, you know, in the presence of God. Then, of course, later on, what does it say? When Israel moved, by day, there was a cloud between them and the Egyptians, and then a pillar of fire by night. Mm-hmm. So it protected, it was the protection of God in that case. So pretty interesting. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 9. I could have made this a 2-hour teaching just on the fire. There's so much stuff. Chapter 9, verse 20. And this is about when they were doing a sacrifice. And it says, and they put the fat upon the breasts, and he burnt the fat upon the altar, and the breasts and the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward them, blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. So here, the fire shows the acceptance of the sacrifice given. And that's what it indicated. In chapter 10, verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So here again, this is God's executed judgment. These guys did something they were not supposed to do, and they took it upon themselves, and they suffered greatly. So, let's see, Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burnt among them. So again, it's God's executed judgment because they went against God. Let's go to Judges chapter 6. Jump over a couple of books. Judges chapter 6. This has to do with Gideon. We studied Gideon, I don't know, a while back, right? Mm-hmm. We looked at Gideon. And you probably might remember this. In verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now here's this young guy. He's scared to death. And he's hiding because of these invaders that have conquered Israel. And this angel comes and he says, you're a mighty man of valor. what a thing to have happen. Let's go down to verse 18. 17, Gideon says unto the angel, if I now have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour and flesh. He put in a basket and he put the broth in a pot and he brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour the broth out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And Gideon was shook up. He was amazed. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. So here he was giving a gift, a present, and it was accepted of God. You know, that fire came. How did the fire come out of a rock and go up to heaven? By God. So, now this was also the case in Judges 13, where Samson's parents met an angel, and they put out some food in honor of him, and fire came out of the rock, and then the angel ascended in the flame up to heaven. And so the sacrifice, you know, was accepted and consumed by the fire from the Lord. let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. We just did this one a couple of weeks ago with Elijah and Ahab, and you know, Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal, and there was 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal against Elijah, and Elijah says, okay, you build an altar and I'll build an altar, and you put up a sacrifice and I'll put up a sacrifice, and whoever's God comes down and consumes, sends fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifice, that will be the true God. So in verse 31, it says in Elijah, so the prophets of Baal all day long, from morning till evening, they're jumping out and down, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're praying, they're doing all their crazy stuff, calling on Baal, and nothing happens. And then in verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. And he did it according to what God told him, right? And he just followed orders. That's all he did. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron, Kishon, and slew them there. So that was the end of those guys. Now, another one is 2 Chronicles 7. I don't know if we'll read that, but it's where Solomon is dedicating the temple, and he did all these sacrifices, and he says a prayer, and then it says the fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice. And so that was the acceptance of the sacrifice from God of that particular sacrifice. And then there's a lot of things about fire in Psalms. We're not going to go through them all. But remember what it talks about, silver purified seven times in a furnace? Mm-hmm. Well, what's a furnace? It's got fire in it, right? It's for purifying. It's for purging out impurities. In Psalm 11, verse 5, it says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." So that kind of says that. Let's go to Matthew. There's more in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah. There's a bunch of them. Let's go to Matthew 3. This is kind of a quick study, but just to give you an idea of the scope of fire in the Bible. It's really amazing sometimes what God uses to communicate and to show things. And so chapter 3, this is where John the Baptist is speaking. And he says in we'll start in verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.'" Again, you know, executed judgment figuratively here. Then he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me," referring to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, "but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit," or Holy Ghost, "Holy Spirit, and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And that's the purging out of the bad stuff. "But he will baptize with Holy Spirit and with fire." Pretty wild. And then let's go to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, it appeared unto them, unto who? The 12 apostles, right? That's who them refers to. Cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. You know, tongues of fire means, you know, the fire is split and coming down. And it appeared to them, and they recognized that they were going to be baptized with Holy Spirit and with fire. You know, God was going to cleanse their soul and allow them to have that Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What a cool thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So if you did good work, this is obviously a figurative use here, as far as I understand. I mean, you know, it's talking about the future, right? If the work abides, the fire, if it's, you know, good stuff, and it doesn't burn up, then you get a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, we have Holy Spirit. So at the gathering together, we're already judged righteous. But we do stand before the seat of rewards. And if our, you know, things we did stand up, we get rewards. Pretty great. Okay, 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So that's a fire of judgment, and you know, it's executed judgment. When Christ comes back, those that don't believe, unbelievers, he will take in flaming fire, take vengeance on them that have gone against God and his son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Peter. So we went from Genesis, and we're going all the way to Revelation with fire. It's pretty cool when I think it is anyway. Chapter 3, verse 7. This is, I love these verses here. It talks first in verse 6 about the world that was being overflowed with water perished. That's referring to Genesis 1:2, when the earth became without form and void, because the earth perished. It has nothing to do with the flood of Noah, because the earth did not perish. Mm-hmm. Noah and the animals and plant life survived. But that first flood, nothing survived. So then it says in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, the heaven and earth that we now live in, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know, all the crap and all the bad stuff is going to be done away with. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What a great thing to think about. But, you know, that fire is going to purge everything. And let's go to Revelation. We got one more good one. This is really a fun one, too. Revelation 20, verse 7. You know, you ever see, they talk about Armageddon, right? And have all these crazy stories and people make up movies and that. Well, this is Armageddon. Jesus Christ comes down to rule the earth. And it says in verse 7, when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And it shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. You know, who's the saints? Jesus Christ is there, and the saints are us. You know, his mighty angels and his body, the body of Christ, because we're ever with the Lord. They compassed the saints about and the beloved city, which is Jerusalem, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's Armageddon. It's no big battle. You know, they surround Jerusalem and God sends fire and they're done. Bam. And that's the final fire of executed judgment. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. This is not us, but others that were raised up. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works, or their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And it goes on from there and discusses the new heaven and the new earth and all that stuff. But that's, you know, a little bit about fire. So let's go back to 2 Kings. There's a lot of stuff there. But, you know, in 2 Kings, what happened? That fire came down from heaven and consumed these guys, because they were standing against the man of God. And Elijah says, you know, if I be the man of God, you know, it's going to come down and consume you. So two groups of 50 come down and they get consumed. And verse 13 says he sent again, the king sent again a captain, the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. This guy had some smarts. Mm-hmm. He didn't demand that Elijah come down. He said, Hey, I'm throwing myself on your mercy. I saw what happened to these other guys. They're toast. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So, angel says, this guy's okay. You can go with him. He's humble. And so verse 16, and he said unto him, Elijah said unto the king, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, the lord of the flies, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off the bed in which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. That's the, if somebody said it once, it could change, but it said three different times, it said that he's going to surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. So Jehoram, remember, was the son of Jehoshaphat. And he was married to the daughter of Ahab. So because Ahab and Ahaziah had no children, Jehoram took over Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? They probably are. We're not going to read it tonight. We got a few more minutes. We'll go into chapter 2. I don't know if we'll finish it, but we'll start it, see what happens. But in chapter 1, that Ahaziah, he died according to the word of God and according to, what Elijah said would happen. And it came to pass, verse 1, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. From the time that Elijah picked up Elisha, Elisha's not letting go. He's going to stick with Elijah no matter what. Because Elijah says, I got to go to Bethel. Why don't you wait here for me? And Elijah's having no part of that. He's going with him. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. So these sons of the prophets, now they were mentioned another place in Kings, 1 Kings, where one of them came up and he was a man and he pronounced a prophecy that came to pass. I looked it up, I forgot which one it was. We read it previously. But these sons of prophets were guys that apparently studied under other prophets, hoping to be men of God. Okay? It doesn't tell us a whole lot about them, except that they're there and they're with Elijah and they're with other prophets at different times. And Elijah said, verse 4, unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. So they went to Bethel. Remember Bethel? Bethel, the house of God, where Jacob first anointed his pillar of stones. That's the place where he went. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, and he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan, and he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. So these sons of the prophets, 50 of them, kind of followed at a distance and just watched to observe. And the two of them, Elisha and Elijah, went up to the Jordan and stood there. And Elijah took his mantle and he wrapped it together and he smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. So he took his mantle, which, you know, was like a cape kind of thing. He rolled it up and he smacked the water, and the water divided and they walked across on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Wow, that's a pretty bold request. Mm-hmm. You know, Elijah says, what do you want? Ask of me what you would want. And he says, I want double what you have of spirit. I want double. And it almost sounds like greedy, but it wasn't. He says, I want a double portion. It's like, you know, you go to grandma's house for dinner and she says, how much turkey you want? I want a double portion. Mm-hmm. Grandma loves that. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Hard meaning, just, you know, hard. It's not an easy thing to ask. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So if you see me when I'm taken, then it'll be. But if you don't see me, then you don't get what you ask. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. There's that fire again, representing, I guess, you know, God's calling, presence, and the horses of fire, and departed them both, came between Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, the word heaven, the word heaven means in the air or in the sky. It's not necessarily where God lives, but anything above the earth is heaven. When it says in Ephesians, you know, in heaven, it means, or heavenly, it means heavenly places. It means in the heavens, plural, which means the wide expanse, or the heavenly realm, which would be more where God and the angels abide. But just the word heaven means anywhere above the earth. And Elisha saw it. He saw it. So Elijah saw it. What does that mean to him? He got his request. He got the double portion. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And you know, that's kind of like a confirmation to Elisha that he's the guy now, because he takes that mantle and he hits the water, and God does the same thing for him that he did for Elijah. And he saw him go up. So that was a confirmation too. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. Now that's kind of interesting because it's not really the spirit of Elijah, it's the spirit of God, right?
Yeah.
It's the spirit of God. But they said the spirit of Elijah, you know, making that connection that the spirit that Elijah had, now Elisha had. But it was the spirit of God. And it was upon him. And they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he saith, Ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, you know, what does that mean? They badgered him. They said, you know, what happened if Elijah was just left lying somewhere and animals are going to eat him or tear him apart, or, you know, he deserves a good burial, or they didn't know what happened to him. So, you know, they urged him until he was ashamed, and he said, Send. And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found them not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did I not say unto thee, Go not? Now, you know, lots of people say that Elijah went to heaven and he's in heaven with God, but we know that's not true. There are other verses where, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, it's very clear that Jesus Christ is the first to rise from the dead and be in heaven. But in the book, Are the Dead or Alive? It's written, Elijah and Elisha moved ahead over Jordan at Jericho. While the 50 sons of the prophets and Elisha watched, Elijah was taken up into heaven, as the word discloses. However, this taken up cannot mean he was transported into the presence of God to abide with him forever, because the 50 sons of the prophet looked for Elijah for 3 days in the rocky slopes. If 2 Kings 2:11 meant that Elijah went straight up, the 50 sons of the prophets would have never have looked for him on the land. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven means that God took Elijah, and Elijah died away from Elisha and the 50 prophets, prophetic sons, and is buried awaiting the resurrection. In other words, he was taken. It's like, remember Moses? Moses went off by himself, and God buried him so that nobody would ever find his bones.
Yeah.
You know, he put him away. It was his man. He took care of it. And that same is true of Elijah. So we're going to stop here in verse 19. And if I forget, somebody can remind me. Okay? So, yeah. That's good. We're a little bit over. So, Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for loving us and blessing us and keeping us safe and just doing your best for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.